Ask the average evangelical about infant baptism, and they are likely to emphatically tell you that is a man-made doctrine, man-made practice. The Bible nowhere teaches it, and the Bible does not tell us to baptize our infants. Is this true?
Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We'll be opening up the scriptures and looking at who the scriptures say baptism is for. We'll take a look at the doctrine of original sin and how it relates to infant baptism. And we'll also take a look at the benefits of baptism, who's doing the work, and even take a look at a biblical account of baptismal regeneration.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case for infant baptism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. How does one become a prophet in pop Christianity? You go to a school? Do you get a diploma? Does a light shine on you in front of the congregation and anoint you as a prophet? How does it happen? Many claim to be prophets in pop Christianity today. One, Georgian Banoff, has been making some strange claims. We're going to be talking about him on This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. Pastor Roseborough is a regular guest. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Before we get into Prophet Georgian Banoff and his claims, how does one become a prophet in pop Christianity?
That's a great question. There are particular people who are kind of prophetic royalty within the charismatic and the NAR, or narismatic, wings of the Pentecostal charismatic movement. And oftentimes, they are people who are understudies of somebody who's been an important person. You know, for instance, Ken Copeland, he himself studied under Kenneth Hagin and got a lot of his credentials, if you would, from Kenneth Hagin and his association with him. Georgian Banoff, he gets his credentials due to the fact that he was visibly a participant in what was called the Toronto Blessing, so it could be experiential. And then sometimes people are just really, this is going to sound redundant, but charismatic. I'm not talking about charismatic gifts here. I'm talking about they have a particular delivery style, or they're very engaging. You think of somebody like Benny Hinn, who claims to have the mantle of Catherine Kuhlman, and clearly his showmanship and just the charisma of the way he presents himself have factored into him being considered a credible prophet within the charismatic movement. And there's a whole bunch of people who claim to be prophets but never really quite seem to get any traction as far as getting a platform or a crowd to follow them in that capacity.
Yeah, and needless to say, very, very briefly, they never need to demonstrate any genuine prophetic credentials, right?
No. In fact, in the charismatic movement, they literally have doctrines that teach that people can be inaccurate prophets and still be prophets of God. And so they'll say that they're not false prophets, they're just bad ones. And so what's really interesting is that within the charismatic movement, everybody claiming to be receiving direct revelation from God gets it wrong significantly, in several different instances in their prophetic words. And they usually learn from them to be more vague in their prophetic utterances, is the best way I could put it.
Who is Georgian Banoff?
Georgian Banoff is a fellow, like I said, he was associated with the Toronto Blessing. He comes from the old Soviet Eastern Bloc nations. He does his ministry work in Romania, Bulgaria, places like that. He has his own prophetic school of the supernatural and the experiential. And so he is very close friends with Bill Johnson and Chris Vallotton of Bethel Church in Redding, California. In fact, the sound bites we'll be listening to are from a sermon he delivered a couple months back at Bethel. And so he is one of these guys who's kind of prophetic royalty within the charismatic movement.
And Bethel is massively influential, isn't it?
Yeah, to say that's almost an understatement. Literally, Bethel is like the flagship charismatic NAR church on planet Earth. Their School of Supernatural Ministry is attended by people from all over the world. And Bill Johnson is, you know, for best way to put it, he's like the elder statesman of this particular type of charismatic church, and their influence is far-reaching all over the globe, and especially in the Southern Hemisphere and in Third World nations, and as well as South America and Africa.
Another name associated there before we get into our first bite from Georgian Banoff is Jesus culture. What is that?
Jesus culture. This is something that if you're familiar with the Christian music scene at all, Jesus culture, they come directly out of Bethel, and they bring Bethel's experiential, you know, enthusiastic theology with them in their music. And to say that they're huge within evangelicalism, again, would be something of an understatement. They are a band to be avoided. You know, their theology is way off on the lunatic fringe.
So what are we going to hear first from Georgian Banoff?
All right. So what we're going to notice is something that I've been noticing for a long time, and we've talked about it before, and that is that sermon time in many churches, especially charismatic churches, is no longer about any attempt to substantively teach God's word, to placard Christ, to convict people of sin by preaching the law, and to herald Christ and him crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. And over and again, it turns into personal story time, and the stories are kind of getting to the point where they've reached kind of like legendary status, like the stories of Paul Bunyan, or, you know, Pecos Bill, or maybe even the Chuck Norris jokes. You know, I mean, these are the types of stories that are being told. And so Georgian Banoff in the first soundbite is going to be regaling us with a story about a small church in Bulgaria that he personally brought the Toronto blessing, anointing, in the mid-90s.
Thank you. I mean, Romania is gypsies, just 3 million gypsies. Bulgaria has many, so many favorite people, and they're mainly garbage collectors, and they're hard workers, actually, or cherry pickers or something like that. In Bulgaria, they're the rose pickers, because Bulgaria, in the middle of Bulgaria, is the largest rose valley of rose of the world, and all French perfume comes from Bulgarian roses. And gypsies are the pickers. So we go there every year, and in this particular neighborhood, violent neighborhood, I mean, selling women and pimps and drug lords and so on and so forth, violent. And yet there's a little church there that just love Jesus, and they, in 95, we brought this corporate anointing, joy and love and, you know, intoxication in Holy Spirit. How many love that? Woo! You know, you don't bother me to get intoxicated anytime. It doesn't interrupt me at all. Or if you rejoice or anything. What bothers me more is like, no, I'm kidding. I don't care what you do. I'm just too drunk to care. Anyways. Oh. So the leader of this little church, I mean, it was all Muslim, the whole neighborhood, just on fire for Jesus, and he loves this anointing, and so he says, come to our neighborhood and give us this blessing, you know. And so we did, and it hit this young leader, and the whole little church just exploded. We minister every night because people are hungry for this every night. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, with these crazy students.
Okay, I got a couple questions there. His claim there is not so great, simply that he went there and they somehow brought an anointing to this little church in Bulgaria. But first of all, the crowd sounded like it had a few drinks already, and he made claims of being intoxicated in the spirit. That goes back to that Toronto blessing, along with the laughter as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And what's really sad here is that that these people actually believe that this is a valid manifestation or a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yet Galatians 5 in listing out the fruit of the Spirit so clearly says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And so you're going to note here is that, you know, by claiming to be intoxicated on the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit, that they are manifesting uncontrollable laughter and shakings and convulsings, which run the exact opposite of the fruit of the Spirit being self-control. I mean, in fact, in these churches, the more out of control of yourself that you are, and the more embarrassing you behave, the more they believe that that's an actual valid manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And yet there is not a single instance of anything like this in all of Scripture, and particularly in the the experiences and the signs and wonders performed by the apostles themselves in the New Testament era. And so, you know, it just makes you wonder, because there are, by the way, there is something of a manifestation of being out of control and shaking and things like this in Scripture. It's found in the Gospels, but when it occurs, somebody's actually manifesting a demon. And so, you know, I put it out there, you know, oftentimes on my program that, you know, these things that we're hearing, they don't sound like they're from the Holy Spirit. And if they are from a spirit, then it would be like the fulfillment of one of Paul's prophecies that in the last days that people would follow and believe literally doctrines of demons. And that's really where I think this is the origin of this type of stuff is.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, we're listening to and responding to some recent claims made by Georgian Banoff, a self-proclaimed prophet. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Silicon Valley is a place of cutting-edge innovation which radically changes lives, where science fiction is already in research and development. In the heart of this digital chaos is a sanctuary of constancy and reverence, Hope Lutheran in Fremont, where nothing is new under the California sun, where the timeless gospel is proclaimed and the sacrament is celebrated with the historic liturgy that truly changes lives. And thanks to Silicon Valley, you may find us on the web at hopelutheranfremont.org.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Germantown, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana.
Grace Lutheran, Clarksville, Tennessee, Hope Lutheran, Sunbury, Ohio, and Reformation Lutheran, Hillsboro, Oregon. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
In my pride and my self-awareness, God's staff in keeping me in His fold, He has used the diagnosis of my husband's cancer to draw me back to Him.
Feminism is just horrific. Everything it does is a philosophy, is counter to the Bible. It makes the individual the foundation of society rather than the family, and that's completely against the biblical order.
The problem is not that Islam isn't a religion. The problem is that it is a bad religion.
I talk about it because we all have the same hope and comfort in Christ. That's easy to lose sight of. It's easy to think that I'm important because I'm a mother. And the truth is that I'm important because I belong to Jesus.
1 hour from now, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play those four soundbites you heard in part there in their entirety. Then you'll give us a call, send us an email, a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and your votes will decide which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about recent claims by Prophet Georgian Banoff. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, what's next from Georgian Banoff?
All right, so what we're going to hear next is, you know, note that he was talking about this small church in Bulgaria that he brought the anointing from Toronto to. And let's just assume that prior to them receiving the Toronto blessing, that they were like any other church. They preached the word, proclaimed repentance and the forgiveness of sins, you know, some concept of, you know, like what evangelicalism was like, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And they exchanged that for this new thing and, you know, kind of blissing out and Holy Spirit intoxication. And listen to the claims then that the impact that this has had in the surrounding area that Georgian Banoff makes for Bulgaria, but then wants to extend then to Redding in California.
Anyways, this church in this neighborhood worship every night, guys, since 96, every night. Woo! Over 20 years now. And guess what? The presence of God has camped not in the little church in the middle of the neighborhood, but on the entire neighborhood. And as a result, crime ended. Drug lords are gone. No more selling women. No more selling children. No more doing drugs. Gone. All gone. All gone. And the police, now this is in the city record, I'm not exaggerating, in the city record, the police have not gone in their neighborhood for 20 years. That's what the presence of God does. So I'm just releasing, you're doing that, you're changing the city, but I'm just agreeing with you that Redding will be a no crime zone. No crime zone! No crime zone! Freedom from crime! Releasing the presence of the Lord! Releasing the simplicity of praise, of worship, of adoration! Oh! I just release you to go out in the streets and just worship. This is wonderful. This is a training ground, but go out! Go out and worship on any corner. Just get your guitar and just sing. And or from door to door, it doesn't matter. Just like a caroling on Christmas. Just sing all. Worship. That's what she makes us do. She makes us bring out instruments and just serenade. Wow.
So what's the claim he's making there, both for Bulgaria, that little neighborhood there, and Redding, California?
Yeah. So no, we don't know the name of this town or the neighborhood, you know, so we can't actually call the police in Bulgaria to verify. But the claim is that since the Spirit of God came and they have been worshiping every night there for 20 years and that the presence of God has come and camped there. You know, I think of the children of Israel in the wilderness and you just have to ask, you know, did the presence of God, does it camp there as a pillar of fire by night and cloud by day, you know? And so as a result of this tangible presence, not the preaching of the gospel, not preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, but people blissing out and getting intoxicated in the Holy Spirit. But now, according to Georgian, with no way of verifying this, that, you know, there's been no crime in the and the police haven't even entered that neighborhood for 20 years. And so we can't verify that because we don't know where that is. But it just so happens I had a conversation with the secretary of the chief of police in Redding, California. And she referred me to the Redding Police Department's website. And they actually have a map that that has overlays. And you can look at all of the reported crimes that have taken place in Reading by month on their website. It's broken down very conveniently for you, and I can definitively say, after looking at the official map of Reading, California, published by the police department of Reading, that that there still is a lot, and I mean a ton of crime in Reading, California.
So what's the purpose of making a proclamation like this when it is so easily and simply debunked? When, I mean, he could have just said, could have ended with the story about Bulgaria, but he's got to push it one more step and make this proclamation about Reading, which you, one phone call cleared up for you.
Yeah. So this is kind of one of the big pieces of the theology of the NAR, which Bethel is a part of, is that they believe that they are supposed to take dominion in their city, and that by manifesting the power and the presence of God, that they are literally taking territory for the kingdom of God through their worship, through their Holy Spirit intoxications, through their decreeing and declaring and engaging in spiritual warfare. And so a big part of their narrative is that these manifestations and this theology is supposed to change the world. And so for years, Bethel's been talking about that they are going to have a huge impact on Reading as far as the crime rate. And if anything, it's the crime rate literally demonstrably has gotten worse over the past 10 years in Reading, despite all of their claims to the contrary. And the issue is that people are emotionally buying into this, but they're turning their brains off and just making a phone call and looking at this factually. They won't do that because facts don't factor into this. It's all about their experience and their emotions.
And let's just point out that Georgian Banov is but one prophet, and we have but one example on but one week in one town, but people making such prophetic claims, making such prophetic assertions in pop Christianity are an every week, almost every church occurrence.
Yeah. Oh, it's getting worse. And don't think for a second that this hasn't gone around the world already. I mean, there are people in the charismatic movement who are, they download the Sermon of the Week from the Bethel podcast that's available on iTunes. They log in to the Bethel website to watch the videos and participate in their version of online church. And so, and we're not talking now about, you know, just a few hundred people. We're talking about tens of thousands of people around the world who would have watched or heard Georgian Banoff's sermon at Bethel because it was at Bethel. So although this is one person, the impact, because of the place where he made these claims, it's gone around the globe.
We will hear more from Georgian Banoff and this week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough on the other side of the break. Pastor Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. I can't wait to hear Chris's presentation, making the case for infant baptism at next month Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Chris will be joined by Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Beverly Yonke, Mark Kaltoff, Ryan Anderson, and Anthony Esselin. Attendance is limited to 400. Child care is free, courtesy of Wittenberg Academy, an online classical Lutheran school. You can find out more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Come on out and join us for the Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas. When we come back, one more soundbite from Georgian Banoff and Chris's response. Stay tuned.
Western man, there's no going back behind Christ. It's either Christ or it's nothing at all. If it's nothing at all, then he ceases to have any culture or any civilization, properly speaking. His civilization comes to an end.
Dr. Anthony Esselin, author of the best-selling book Out of the Ashes, talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But for Western man to know Christ and then to turn away from him, have his whole civilization built upon the Christian faith, and then to turn away from that is suicide.
You can meet and hear Dr. Anthony Esselin making the case for Western civilization at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Attendance is limited to 400. Child care is free. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus. For you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
Can you remain a Christian if you stay away from church on Sunday mornings? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Why Do You Go to Church? We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Mark Seifried writes about his journey from being a Baptist seminary professor to becoming a Lutheran seminary professor. It's the free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about Georgian Banoff's recent claims of prophecy. So, kind of summarize where we've been so far with Georgian Banoff. What has he said?
Well, he's been regaling people with stories of the astounding, you know, claiming that he brought the Toronto Blessing back to Bulgaria to a small church there. They now engage in blissing out and having intoxicating worship every night of the week, and now they no longer have any crime in their neighborhood at all and haven't had any crime for 20 years. And so we'll note that he hasn't been actually preaching anything from Scripture, at least what, you know, what we've been listening to. But in our next soundbite, the Bible will sort of kind of make an appearance. And I got to warn your listeners ahead of time, what you're going to hear is beyond absurd. This is one of the most bizarre twistings of Scripture I've heard, and that is actually saying a lot.
I mean, we worship everywhere. We worship in the West Banks. We worship in inside hospitals where the wounded soldiers in Israel. We worship inside army bases. We do just like this. Come on. The kingdom of God is invading. Do you know one of our friends in Israel, messianic friend, believer, Jewish believer, but leader in Ashdod? Isn't that the right It's Ashkat or Ashdod? Ashdod. It's where the presence of, where the ark was. Remember, the presence gave the enemy, remember hemorrhoid? Am I right? I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making fun of it. It was miserable, right? So those guys who held the, how many read the Bible? I'm not making this is true. Like, if you don't, yield to the presence, who knows what will happen? I don't guarantee you. I don't know. Might as well worship. And anyway, these guys did not worship. They're just like, no way, you know. And boom, they got heavy hemorrhoid issues. And so they realized it's from that ark of this presence. So they made huge hemorrhoid gold, like, offerings. And then... Go. So they released it. Right? I'm not making this up. This is a Bible story. Huh?
All right. So can you make any connection from that back to what passage is he talking about?
Well, he's supposedly referencing 1 Samuel chapter 5 after the death of Hophni and Phinehas and the high priest Levi. The ark was captured by the Philistines, and God caused the people of Ashdod to break out with tumors, not hemorrhoids. That's what he's referring to. But I thought the most telling thing he said in that bite was, literally, "Have any of you read the Bible?" That was the most telling thing that he could have said, because you'll note that there's not a high value on reading Scripture, preaching Scripture, rightly understanding Scripture. And so he has some vague memory of this account in Scripture, and he's clearly lost sight of the details. But note what he said there. He was tying this into his claims regarding all the places where they worship and bring the glory and this anointing and intoxicating, the intoxication of the Holy Spirit. That in the context of that, he mentions his friend who's a Messianic Jew who lives in Ashdod, and said, "Yeah, that's the place where the Philistines refused to worship, so God gave them heavy hemorrhoid issues." I mean, how you botch it that bad is beyond me, but it's very clear to me that Georgi Ambonov does not have a very clear understanding of the biblical texts, the stories in Scripture, and nor does he understand, you know, what they are about and how they point back to Christ. And he literally thinks that 1 Samuel 5 somehow is a story about the Philistines refusing to worship God and bliss out in the presence, and then God giving him hemorrhoids. I've never heard anything that absurd, but you can only get away with something like that in a church where the people are literally, not just functionally, but absolutely biblically illiterate.
So what I'm wondering about here is he better off staying away from the Bible entirely and just kind of taking up a career in stand-up comedy? It wouldn't be a successful career, but at least he could give it a shot. Are these preachers, are they more dangerous when they do handle the Bible, or when they just leave it and go off and tell their stories about Bulgaria and cleaning up the crime in neighborhoods?
You know, the thing is that they know that in a church setting, there has to be some kind of tie-in back to Scripture. So they're always touching it. They're always, you know, making some weird veiled reference to it now, but they're never actually reading out a text, exegeting it, and having people hear the stories of Scripture and know and be familiar with the narratives and who has done what and for what reasons. They don't do anything like that. It's just all this weird stuff. And so, but they have to have some kind of a veneer of the Bible to make it look like what they're saying is, you know, Christian or somehow, you know, related to Christianity. But I would say the charismatic movement right now literally makes medieval Roman Catholicism Catholicism look like confessional Lutheranism. That's how bad things are right now in the charismatic movement. And nobody cares. But the damage they're doing to people is so severe. The cost of following people like this is literally an eternity in hell. And the weird thing about it is that these people are literally laughing their ways hysterically on the broad road that leads to destruction, believing delusionally that somehow they are experiencing the presence of a holy God. But when they get in the presence of Christ, their eyes will be open to the deception that they have been under, and then it will be too late.
So this is finding its way, not necessarily as extreme as Georgian Banoff's kind of shtick here, but it's finding its way into mainstream churches all the time. The kind of, we used to think of the charismatic movement as a movement because it was out there on the fringe someplace, but it is so mainstream now that you can walk into Lutheran churches and see essentially the trappings and the beliefs of the charismatic movement on display every Sunday.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, you hear the same style of preaching, but, you know, but then again, you know, it's all about the personal experience, the subjectivity, the flow of the spirit, and everyone's looking for, you know, the presence of Christ in all the wrong places. You know, Christ has promised to be present where two or more are gathered in his name. He's present in bodily, you know, in the Lord's Supper, and they poo-poo that. And so they have this weird spiritual thing that they're looking for the spirit within them. And yet Luther says so clearly in the Small Called articles that the devil in the Garden of Eden literally turned our first parents into enthusiasts, because when Eve hears the serpent, you know, saying, did God really say, rather than looking to the word of God that was taught to her by Adam, she goes inward and thinks, well, the fruit is good for, you know, it's pleasing to the eye and looks good for food. And so she made her decision to eat based upon looking for all the answers within herself. And Luther points out that that the devil turned her into an enthusiast, and then Adam followed, and then we all followed as well when we fell in that sin. So, you know, this is like enthusiasm run to its logical conclusion. And, you know, any Lutheran church that is trying to embrace these forms of worship, they're being utterly foolish, because these forms of worship come with an inherent enthusiastic theology that is diametrically opposed to the sacraments and the means of grace. You cannot combine the two. I just don't understand those Lutheran churches that somehow think that they can adopt this style of worship and preaching and somehow maintain any kind of solid confessional and biblical orthodoxy. It's just not possible.
Before we let you go, what kind of prophecies will you be deconstructing tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
We'll be making a case for cessationism on today's episode of Fighting for the Faith.
You can listen to Chris Roseboro and Fighting for the Faith an hour from now, right after today's live broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseboro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
In hour two of Issues Etc., today, the Lutheran Church of Australia voted for the fourth time in a actually small period of time to forbid the ordination of women. The vote this time was a little better than last time, but we need to note that it was not a vote so much against the ordination of women as a failure to get the two-thirds required for that church body to finally ordain women. We'll be talking with Pastor Stephen Vanderhook, pastor of Marysboro Childers Lutheran Parish in Queensland, Australia, about the vote and whether or not this will be the last time the Lutheran Church in Australia visits the issue of women's ordination. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.